Good morning, everybody. What a privilege and a pleasure to be with you in the East this fine Sunday. The title of my talk today is This Great Big Light of Mine. This Great Big Light of Mine. Hopefully it reminds you of a song. And what a sunny day that the Lord has given us for this message. I wish I could say I planned it that way, but that's just the way the skies are this morning. It's really great to be in the East, to see so many familiar faces. I was baptized in our church in Manchester back in the day of Elridge and Larry and a few others that I recognize. It's great to see them. I've worked with the teenagers in Southeast London for the last 6 or so years. And it's great to see Jack and Shakira and the great job they're doing with the teens here, and see many teens I've got to know at teen camp. And of course, the Camerons, of course, from the Southeast as well. It's just a real honor to see you. And to see these faces, Emily and Param and Isabel and Zarina and Renata, and to see people who are becoming Christians in our teen ministries in London in only just the last few months. I mean, it's just so inspiring to see how God is blessing this church. I do just want to share, I think I've got a slide of, this is my family. For those of you who don't know myself, or this is Joe, my wife. This is my son Isaiah. He's 5 and Psalm is 3. That was in France last year on a wonderful holiday. I just want to, it's great to be able to just introduce this theme. We're only going to look at 3 verses today. And we're going to talk about being the light of the world this morning. And my first point is that you are the light of the world. As a London church, if you've been visiting with us, you'll know we've been looking at the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I know 2 weeks ago, Sean Wooten delivered a great message on the Beatitudes and how blessed we are. And Matthew 5-7, this whole chunk of scripture is really about discipleship and what does it look like? What are the requirements? What does it mean for us to be in the kingdom? And those Beatitudes really just spell out the good life. And let me say now, if you've chosen to be a disciple, nobody is a loser who chooses the good life in Christ. I mean, it is the good life and you are blessed. And in these verses we're going to look at, we're not going to touch on salt today, but there's other verses around. We start to look at the distinctiveness of that life. What does it mean to really live as a disciple? What is that about? And how distinct should we be? And this morning we're going to pick it up in Matthew 5. And verse 14, and we're going to look at the distinctiveness that God talks about regarding light. In Matthew 5 and verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. We could look at this and say, yeah, I get that. But do we really get that? Do we really understand what God is saying? We see a number of times in the scriptures that this title of light is given, and we're going to look at a few here. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, God himself is light. In him there is no darkness at all. John 8 verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus himself says, hey, I'm the light. And then even the gospel itself, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, talking about Satan, the devil, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we've got God the Father saying, I am the light. We've got Jesus himself saying, I am the light. And we've even got the word, the gospel itself, saying it is a light for us. And then Jesus comes along and says, and by the way, you too are the same. You are the light of the world. I mean, it's a deep, deep few words that we can take here. He's saying you are the same as me. A title that I have, I'm going to pass on to you. I am light, my son is light. The word is, you are now the light of the world. Now God gives you his name, he calls you this. This is his belief in you. And he doesn't leave it as some shallow offering. He puts his Holy Spirit inside of you. He says, I'm going to come and live inside of you. It's not that we ourselves in our very natures without God are light, although there's some shining that can go on, maybe dimly for us when we're not close to God or when we weren't Christians or if we're not Christians, we can shine. But with the Holy Spirit inside of us, we become this same holy light that God is talking about here. And I really want you to grasp this today. I really want you to grasp, do you believe that you are the light of God? And what does that mean to you? Do you believe that you are truly special to God? Do you believe that he wants that relationship with you? In verse 14, he uses an analogy of a city on a hill and says that you are, you know, a town on a hill. You are this light, but you're also, you know, to be this visible, everlasting, seen everybody around city on top of a mound. Now, what do you think the Jewish hearers of the day were thinking of when they heard this? I think Jerusalem. I think they would have thought, Jerusalem is that Mount Zion. We just sung the song on the mountain of the Lord. I mean, they would have sat and thought, he's saying, we're like Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem has been prophesied for time. You go through the Psalms, Mount Zion. You go, us, come on. But this is what he truly believes about you. And there's other mounts, you know, Hebron, Sinai, Carmel, Ararat. You could have, I think they're thinking, no. And Jerusalem would come to mind. And that's how important you are to me, God's saying. You are like Jerusalem to me, without blemish, holy, set apart, predestined, chosen, called, sanctified, and distinct. Songs will be sung about you. In verse 15, he then uses another analogy. He says, think of a lamp. That's the finest lamp I could find on free Christian software that I try and source. This is quite a fine lamp, I thought. But this is just a household lamp. I mean, you look up what a lamp is in the Bible. I mean, a lampstand in the Old Testament was like some serious piece of gear. It was hammered out of pure gold. And they used to have these almond flowers and buds and blossoms that would just hold the lamps inside themselves, shooting up. Maybe many of you have seen the Jewish candles that people keep to this day. This lamp was taken in the tabernacle, in the tent, when the Jews were wandering. They would this lamp was there. It was lit every evening without fail and kept lit through the night. And the ushers, you do a great job. Ushers are very important in the Bible. I help out with the ushers in the southeast, and this is, you know, it's something that the ushers would keep this, the lamp bearers and the temple guards would keep this going. And in the temple, after the tabernacle, the temple would have not just one lamp, they had 10 of these lampstands around the temple, just you know, to light up the temple. And they were very precious. Very, very precious. When people ransacked Jerusalem, ransacked the temple, first thing that would be gone would be the lampstands. Look at solid gold. Precious. But the Bible is just describing the lampstands. You are the very light itself, God is saying. You are the light that is held by this precious piece of gold. You are the light. The same light the Father has, you have. And you may think, slow down a bit. Hold on a minute here. I don't really get, you know, I've come along today and I want to come to church, but getting me to think I'm the light of God. Hold on a second here. I'm not quite grasping that. Let's touch on a few practicals. Maybe you're new to Christianity and you're not familiar. You maybe think, okay, I get the light of the sun. Maybe I get the light of a lamp. Have you got the light of the gospel yet? Have you sat down and actually looked through and thought, where can some light of God come into my life? Because really, that's what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about a Sunday service. Although, you know, it's great. You guys look great and I love visiting with you. And we can all look great on a Sunday and come in and amen and sing songs. But is it light, you know, tomorrow morning when you wake up? How's your light on a Friday night? Does your light shine bright amongst your peer group or work colleagues? Well, yeah, I can see there's a bit of darkness, you know, and we'll talk more about darkness a little bit. You know, it's that we're talking about when we get into the Bible, trying to help ourselves be that light. You know, and for me, something that's really helped me is just prayer. To really understand God's love for me, it's really prayer. And I've been studying out the Lord's Prayer, and good place to start. And, you know, he's got me on the first word. He's got me on Father. I haven't got really beyond Father yet. I've been doing it for about a month. And Father, I'm sold. I mean, that's fine. And I started meditating on this. And just bear with me. So this has been my prayer process. My dad left when I was about 11 year old. So this idea of God being close has always been a bit of a struggle, that Father would be near me. And I've wrestled with that sometimes. Think, well, maybe God didn't answer that prayer because it's actually a long way away. Because, you know, my physical dad was like that in my teenage years. And so, you know, I've wrestled with this and looked through the scriptures. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1 that God was our Father before he created any living matter. Okay, so he knew you and chose you. And he was my dad before he created the earth. Okay, so that's quite deep for me. That's like, man, he's my dad from before time. Then the Bible says, he knit me together in my mother's womb. Now, my wife does a bit of knitting, okay? My wife is a keen sewer and a keen knitter. And any of you out there have tried a bit, I've tried once or twice. It takes a while just to do one knit, okay? For me, okay? But that is, God doesn't say, I machine sewed you into being. He says, you know, I knit you together. Like, I took real care and real preciseness of exactly who you are. Exactly who you are. I'm your dad of your very weird and funny idiosyncrasies. Okay, teens, you're listening up, alright? I mean, seriously for teens, we can get hung up on some of those idiosyncrasies. I'll use another word because that's quite, you know. Now, like talents, gifts, weird skills, features. We can think, my nose is not like their nose. I'm going to be real here. That could freak you out. Freak me out for about a year of my teenage life. But God knitted that nose. Well, I like this weird music that nobody else listens to. God gave you this love of that music. As long as it's godly. Amen. I've got some great Christian hip-hop if you're struggling with that stuff. I'm serious. You got to get godly with your music. You know, I'm into this weird, like, really strong jerk chicken. No, I don't know what else could even handle. Amen. God knitted that tongue together and, you know, embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace who God made you to be. All of us need to do this. All of us need to appreciate that God made us to be light and made you different from everyone else. Physically, in that way. Then he's my Father of my actual salvation. He actually brought faith into my heart, stopped me smoking marijuana and taking drugs and having atheist thoughts. That was my background of just nothingness and boredom of life, and gave me faith and belief and a purpose and a path. You know, he was truly the Father. I could understand that. Truly the Father of my salvation. But then through difficult times in my teenage life, I was suicidal. I had challenging times with drugs and different things. He was my dad right then. Going, come on, Mo, come on, you can do it, man. Come on. I'm your dad, I'm rooting for you. And there were times in my life, I haven't got time to share about, where there was definitely something happened. I wouldn't have said it was God because I didn't know anything about God. Where I was picked up. Should have gone worse. It should have gone disastrous. And God just kind of kept me there. And then he's the God of, like, eternity. I mean, can you believe it? Like, we get to spend eternity with our dad. I mean, these are just some practical prayer application stuff that we can get into here to really meditate on this stuff. Because when I pray those prayers, when I get this, man, I can raise an army. I mean, I can, I am 10 feet tall. Like, nothing will stop me. Like, I don't know, I don't need it. That's the motivation I need. Because I'm the light of the world. Because he says so, and he's my dad. You know, we got to get hold of this. You know, on the practical, are you close to the cross? Appreciate David's communion. Have you got to know what the cross is about? You study that out. Get deep with that. You know, you are so believed in. You are so cherished by God. You compare yourself to the great city of Jerusalem, the golden lampstand. You are more magnificent, more majestic, more loved. God loves you into eternity. This is how God feels about you. Why would you hide this? And yet many do. Second point, let your light shine before others. So how can we shine bright? If we get this, that we're the light and that God has put this in us, how can we do that? You know, we've got some great things going on in church. We got our Women's Day in Southeast London coming up, and we have no one else but Julie and Sarah D'Souza coming to lead our Women's Day, which we are looking forward to. A mother and daughter combination. We're really excited by that. Inviting people to events in church and winning them over. Even in our neighborhoods. And I'm going to share a video, Max, if you can cue up the video. I'm going to share a video now for an opportunity that we can get in our neighborhoods to share our faith. So just enjoy.
I'll be inside in a minute. I'm going to say hey to Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike.
Flowerbeds are looking good, neighbor.
Yep. You guys just get back from church?
Yeah. Just been at the church house.
I wonder why he never invites me to church. I mean, I go if he asks me to go. This is the way it is. I'm out in my front yard when he comes home from church. It's always so awkward.
It's so awkward. And I'm so hungry. Ugh. I think my wife made goulash. I love goulash. Oh, maybe Joe would like some goulash for lunch. Hey, Joe.
Here comes the invitation to church.
Yeah? You want to come over for
goulash? Sure, I'd love to go to church with you.
What'd you just say? What'd you say?
You said something about God.
Goo. Goulash.
You're having goulash at your church?
No, at my house.
You're inviting me over for goulash?
Yeah.
Goulash. Yeah, who doesn't like goulash? I like some goulash. Yeah, sign me up. Goulash.
I'll check and make sure we have enough.
I see you walking away.
Okay. There's loads of those guys, skit guys, they do like a number of like these kind of ones in awkward situations. Do I need to say much on that? You guys kind of get that? You know, I'd go if you invited me. You know, people are thinking about this. Your neighbors, your schools, your workplaces, people are kind of expecting it from you, right? I mean, you just get from the church house, you know, like, and then we talk about the football or whatever, you know. It's out there, opportunities out there to let your light shine. Are we doing that or are we running inside? How are we doing with that? You know, it's amazing, but people love to cover up their light somehow. It just seems to happen. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 20. You know, because this scripture's kind of funny where it says, you know, you don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. And we're like, what? That doesn't make sense. Like, why would anyone do that? Has anyone ever done that? You've gone to bed at night, you turn your bedside light, and then you get a big bowl and you put it over the top. I mean, you'd be like, what are you doing? And yet, this is the analogy that God said, if you've got this great big light in you, If you're not sharing, that's what you're doing. That's like you're putting a bowl over your head. And Jeremiah sort of entertains this thought. Jeremiah 20 verse 9. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am wary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. You know, Jeremiah says, like, let me just think about that and not sharing about God. He's talking about preaching. And he's going through some tough challenges here in this chapter. But he's like, well, maybe I just shouldn't talk about God. I mean, there's a consequence to that. Many would argue even a mental consequence to that. To not sharing who you really are. To not sharing what you really believe. To not really sharing in the way that God made you to share. I've struggled in the past with challenges where I've got inward focused on my own needs. And actually the solution is not, yeah, just let me just spend more time inward and, well, let me marinate that negativity that I'm really wrestling. There's a bit of bitterness and I should really sit on the bitterness and let me just get out there and share the good news. And then I meet someone whose life is way worse than mine. I'm serious, way worse. Because I have Jesus. Whatever I'm going through, God, life is good, right? And then my little struggles are like, what was I even doing with all that junk? And yet we can get hung up on this. In fact, we can even get spiritually messed up, not shining our light. It will burn. There's going to be some burning inside. We've got to get out there. It's got to be shared. The light has to be shared. You know, some lights are incredible. Here's a lighthouse, okay? I mean, some lights, you know, a lighthouse compared to a lamp, vastly different. I mean, this light, you know, guides people to safety. This is a light that the ships even to this day will use, even on the coast of our country last night. Lighthouses will be spinning their lights around, warning people where not to go and where to go. Incredible lights. You know, are we shining like that? Is that what we're doing with our lights? Are we showing people the way? Helping people get into harbor, to get into the safety and the home of Jesus Christ? Are you getting with someone to show them the way at the moment? How's that going? When were you last in a Bible study? Helping someone see the biblical way of salvation. That's another way we can share our light. Don le noir. Don le noir. Does anyone know what don le noir is? In the dark, okay. Has anyone been to the restaurant Don Le Noir? Okay, I'm going to share about it. In Clerkenwell, there sits a very dimly lit restaurant called Don Le Noir. For my wife and I's 40th birthday party in December, my brother gave me two tickets to a three-course meal at Don Le Noir. Now, Don Le Noir is a restaurant that is in pitch black. So you go in and the foyer is really dimly lit, and then you choose your menu. You can have like vegetarian, meat, some fish, I think, and then surprise. So of course I went for surprise. I thought, it's really hard for me. I like to see what I'm eating most days. I'm like, yeah, I've got to see what it is. But I thought, look, I've got to enjoy this experience. I'm going to go for surprise. And so then you go up this corridor and it gets even more dimly lit. You go through some curtains. And then a blind waiter comes out and meets you. And all the waiters and waitresses are blind because that's their domain. and then you put your hand, we had this guy called Roberto, this Italian guy. You put your hand on his shoulder and Joe, my wife, put her hand on my shoulder and in we go. And you feel these more thick curtains cover your face. You're like, and you walk in and you can see nothing. And they sit you down facing each other, and they tell you there's someone sitting beside you. So you say, all right. You can't shake hands. And then he teaches you how to eat, and how to drink, and how to survive. And you know, it was just a fantastic experience. I mean, fantastic experience. And for the whole night, Roberto, he was our light. There was a party in the corner making a bit of noise. And then we heard some noise, someone fell. And he came over to us. He said, "Oh, these people, they just think they can get around. They don't get it." And some of them had a bit to drink, and you know. And he was like, "You know, if you need," he told us, "it's like you need anything, because he'd take you out to the toilets or in the light, and you go to, if you need that or whatever you need, just call him and he'll come over." But people kind of buffle around in the dark, trying to get by. I mean, we were like humbled. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to, you know, I've got to be careful I don't spill a glass. I'm clumsy anyway. And yet, some of us live our life like that. Some of us live our life like, I'm okay. I'll stumble a bit, but my life's okay in the darkness. I can get by. I can learn my way around. You've not even got anyone to show you the way. You're not even really stepped into the light. You know, for many of us, we know people in serious darkness. We know people in serious pain. Can we be that guy? Can we be that Roberto to say, "Come with me. Come with me to church. Come with me to a Bible discussion. Give me one study to show you by the apologetics that the Bible is true." Just, you know, are we pleading with people? Are we helping them? You know, I'm not saying we need to live our life shining brightly to be disciples of Jesus in and of itself. If you didn't get the first point, the second point doesn't follow. You with me? God is in you, and therefore you shine. We do, disciples shine. That's what we do. But it's not, we're not earning anything by doing that. Alright? Just to make that clear. These points go together. God is our light. With that, we shine with that. It's not even our own strength. I just need to say that. But sometimes there can be some darkness that kind of clouds over our light and kind of just, you know, diminishes our light in life. You know, sometimes we can hide our light by just not speaking out, by going along with the crowd, by denying the light, by letting sin dim the light, by not explaining our light to others, by ignoring the needs of others, or not giving glory to God but trying to take it ourselves and carry on ourselves. And when darkness comes over, it's natural we feel a bit low. Like if today just clouded over suddenly, we'd all be a bit like, "Oh, okay." I mean, that happens. And yet, surely by its very nature, physically, light has to have darkness to exist. Light wouldn't be light without darkness. And yet, things can come into our life and it can throw us into all kind of different situations where we're like, "Oh my gosh, this just happened to me." What do you expect? What are you expecting in life? I mean, life is not easy. When that eternity side of things, that's the easy bit. All right? I'm looking forward to that. Can I have an amen? I mean, that's like, but darkness can come in and we sometimes, it can throw us completely. And we're like, "This is just too hard. This is going to come. We need to be ready." I'm sorry for the young disciples maybe to wake up to this, but it's true. There's darkness around. We need to still hold on and be that light. Parents, how's it going with shining your lights at home? How's it going? As a teen leader, I can say this. The brighter you shine your lights, the more your kids just absorb that light and walk in the same way you're going. It's just fact. It's fact. It's fact. You know, it just happens. But sometimes we're stuck and we just, yeah, there's some darkness. I can't really get past it. And sometimes we just got to make a decision just to shine. You may still be going through it. We just got to make that decision. In my marriage this week, I was just super grumpy one day with Joe. Super grumpy. My old self, I used to be really moody as a non-Christian. And just sometimes as a teenager, just to look cool. I thought it was quite cool to be moody. But then that kind of came into my character as a non-Christian. And it just sort of came over me this week where I was just in a real huff. And my wife was like, my wife thought it was her fault. I felt really bad then. No, it's my fault. And I was a bit like, different things going on, a bit of pressure at work, different things. So I was like, just a bit weighing on my mind. And I was just like, what am I doing? My wife's now feeling bad. You know, the kids want to play. You know, and here's dad sitting at home grumpy. And I just had to, you know, just repent, brother. You know, just get up and get out there. Just make that decision. Now, that didn't take the pressure away from work and it. There were other things still that needed to be dealt with. But sometimes we just got to make that decision. I want to share one more scripture and just a picture. In space is a dark place, right? But we, I mean, even here, this is kind of just a slide of some stars. But stars just are unbelievably bright with that dark background. And that's the way we are in the world. You don't need to turn there. Philippians 2, the Bible says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. It's actually true that you shine brightest in the dark places. In the darker the place you're in, the brighter your light can shine. And I do think about schools when I share this. I'm a PE teacher. I teach in a primary school. And, you know, there's some challenging times. There's some kids coming from challenging situations. There's some different situations. I work with the teenagers in my church. Some even more challenging situations at secondary school. And yet, the Bible says you can shine brightest there. You can shine so bright in those places. I want to share about a teen I'm studying the Bible with who, you know, he's got exams going on. Many of you right in the middle of the exams. And I know it's hard. You guys are putting the time in. Kyle in the southeast, he's in year 13. He's doing his A-levels. And he's in computing, graphics, and all these other ones. And we've been studying the Bible throughout. I mean, he's doing great. Please pray for him. We're praying he'll become a Christian soon. But he's kept to the studies throughout his exams. Even like he'll have a major exam the next morning. I'll say, Carl, you good? Still good? He'll go, still good. And he'll be there and he'll plan his schedule. This is not taking time out from his studies. He'll plan his schedule because he's like, God is important. And I'm trying to put God first in my life. And so he'll still commit to God even through this time. And for me, the other teams, that shines in that. Because exams can be a bit of a dark time. It's a bit like a lot of clouds around. We can still shine bright and show people the way. You know, the last thing I want to share with you is some of the practicals about letting your light shine. Is I've been talking to Tony Cameron about, he's doing a great job just highlighting missions and mission work and mission contribution. And I want to share a little bit about some experience I had just sharing my light in a missions way. And this is the Glasgow church planting, which my wife and I went on in 2001, okay? That's me in fine Scottish apparel. This is the launch in Birmingham. And that's us just looking for jobs for the other disciples. Joe and I gave up our jobs and we went into full-time ministry to go and lead the church. And all the other disciples were from around the church. And they just were like, man, we want to shine brighter. They just gave up their jobs, gave up their houses. And this was one news agent on Byers Road. I was just chatting to Faye, Jack's sister, about Byers Road. Looking for jobs and accommodation. Fantastic time. And this us just preaching the word. We used to meet outside Borders. Or you have to say it, Borders. All right, that's the answer. Diane, pay attention. And we used to preach the word there every day. And there's Will Smith up in Glasgow using our phone for follow-up every night. I mean, we just reached out morning, noon, night for 3 months. Just preaching the word, ringing people, inviting them. But after about 2 months, we felt like we'd met everybody who commuted into Glasgow. We'd meet them. We're in the city. They were like, yeah. It'd be like, it was just fantastic. It was so exciting. We had a city Bible discussion going on in the pitch and piano. We had Bible discussions in our house. We had a Bible discussion on the University of Glasgow campus. It was just a phenomenal time of just shining brightly. We didn't even have an invitation, so we printed our own initially. This is my attempt. There was no real internet. The internet had just come out. And so, but there was this machine in one of the shopping centres that you like put a pound in, it go and it prints out. This was our like main invitation, because, and then we finally got some snazzy ones, and we were fired up. We thought we're a real church now, and here's our first two baptisms. That was that's Prem at the top. Top right. He's baptized on the day of our first, on the day of our first service, and then Chris at the bottom right in his Scottish football shirt. He went into the sea. The Scots, they don't want to be baptized anywhere else. They want to go in the sea, all right? And these four guys, they're still great friends. This is Danny, he's in the Four Rivers. He's baptizing a friend of ours today who came to the southeast. We handed them up to the Four Rivers. They live up that way. And his friend Paul's getting baptized today in the Four Rivers. Fantastic. But these are all still great mates, faithful. Like, it's just an incredible time. We had such a good time. I can't share enough. I could go on and on. How was it funded? This is how it was funded. Marcus Gale, Premiership footballer at the time, played for Wimbledon, signed for Glasgow Rangers. And so with that, with his giving and offering, it allowed us to basically pay for a building, pay for Joe and I to go on staff. And that's how it was funded. Otherwise, Glasgow wouldn't have happened. And this is him signing, and he went up there. What's my point? My point is that missions need funding. It just needs funding. That's, you know, I'd love to see a church in Newcastle, in Liverpool, in Sheffield. I grew up in the Midlands and the North. I'd love to see these places evangelized. I know this place I'm sure you'd pray for and go to, even around the world. Let me ask you, is that your dream? Because when I was a young disciple, everybody wanted to go on a mission team. I mean, it was like, man, where are you going? I want to go here. We were either going to go to Glasgow at the time or Newcastle, and then Marcus signed for Rangers, so we went to Glasgow. Amen. And we were just, and I'll go on another one tomorrow. I'm ready. I'll go anywhere. How's our heart? Teenagers, do you dream like this? You know, the East London, you're going to be too big for East London soon. You know, where are you going to go? Where do you dream of going? Do you have these kind of dreams? Are you going to give to support those things? You know, these are just some ways to shine your light. But maybe you're going through a tough time. Maybe you're like, it's hard for me to hear this stuff. See, everything seems to be so bright in this church and everybody so giving. I'm just going through a tough time. Well, maybe the way you carry yourself through that tough time will be a light for others. Or maybe you still haven't just got a hold of the Word of God yet, and the light of God is just not really. You maybe did some conversion experience in Christianity, but you didn't really study the Bible to see what does it mean biblically to be saved. You know, I challenge you to study the Bible. The Scripture is key. Your Word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Let someone lead you with the Bible today. Go away from here saying, "I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to find my God, I'm going to find the light." In conclusion, you are the light of the world. God believes in you so much as his children that he gives you his title. He believes that's what you are to him. So special, so loved, so much more important than any material item he's created. And what are you to do with that light? You're to let it shine. You're to let it shine before people. The message version of the Bible says, are you going to go public? Have you not gone public yet? Who are you guiding home today? And don't be overwhelmed by the dark. It's around, it's going to be there. But let it make you shine brighter. You know, let's pray for and give to missions contribution. And let's dream for the mission field again. Different cities around the UK, and let's continue to be on the mission in East London. It's been wonderful to be with you today. Thanks so much.
Well, I think we've been very privileged today just to be able to hear from two fantastic brothers. I want to thank David Bruce for sharing the communion this morning. And I want to thank Mulligan just for really reminding us the fact that we are the light of the world. Whether you feel like it or not, people will look to you and look at your example. And today there are no Arsenal supporters who are keeping their affiliation under a bowl today because they've got good news they want to share. We need to be reminded of the fact that we have good news all the time. And so we need to be letting our light shine all the time and letting other people know about how they can share in that good news as well. So at this time, we're going to close out our service with one final song. But let's just take away the lesson, the fact that we have something to share. And let's this week make a point of sharing it. Amen.